Good to see everyone out this nice, beautiful Sunday. Excited about today. Had a few storms yesterday, but nothing didn't get pat, so we okay. And good to see everyone out. We got people still vacationing. Maybe we'll all get back together one of these days. And like you remember, if you're going to Jonathan and Carrie's this afternoon swimming, if you would please get with them so they can prepare. Let them know what you're bringing, that kind of thing. So remember that throughout the service. We had a great Sunday school class. We had confession. They found out a bunch of stuff about me, found out I threw a pumpkin one time at Stephanie. It wasn't a real pumpkin. It was a plastic one. But we had a good time in our Sunday school class. We're going through a great study in Nehemiah, and it's we're having fun with it, but it's very, very eye-opening of how those people work together, exactly like a church has got to do. We've all got our part, all got our place. We're going to be a church that God has us to be. We're all important, so excited about that study. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get into our service? I know, has anyone heard from Pam? Did she go home? Pam Hightower?
Family here.
She's here? Y'all remember her and her family.
Sister goes for scans Tuesdays. Will y'all please pray for good report?
Remember that. Amen.
I mean, one lady lost her everything. And one of the things that she said is somebody asked her, "Are you glad you survived?" And she said, "I don't know yet." She said, "I lost everything I had." And she said, "All I know is that God's got a purpose for me to be here." So just pray that she will focus on that purpose and give her some kind of peace.
One lady, I think, lost was 11?
Yeah,
11 family members in that thing. So be much in prayer. Lord knows them. And he can touch a distance off that we can't. So be much in prayer for them. I can't imagine the loss, and my mind can't comprehend it, but God had a reason for it, or the storm wasn't to come. So be much in prayer for those. Any others? Remember Stephanie, she'll be traveling this week. She's going to Nebraska. I don't know, see if she can find some corn or something. But y'all remember her. She travels, and we got many others going to be traveling to the beach and different things, and I hope those going to the beach, I hope it rains every day. I'm kidding. I'll be stuck up here working, but pray for those as they travel. Seriously, we got a bunch traveling, and anytime you're on the highways and anywhere you need to be safe, so pray for those. Anyone else? None else? We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and our singers come forth. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day you've given us. God, we ask that, most of all, you meet with us this morning. God, we ask your Spirit be in our presence, and Lord, that we will truly worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray for these prayer requests that's been made. God, these that have lost loved ones in the accident out there, God, we pray that you comfort as only you can. Lord, we don't understand the reason, but we know that you're in control. And God, we trust you to make the right decisions in our lives and the lives of those people. And God, we ask you to be with our singers this morning, God, and just touch them. Father, I ask that we have a great service and that we're here not to glorify ourselves, but everything we do bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. For it's in his name we ask these requests. Amen.
Please stand and worship with us this morning. If you need the words, they'll be behind you today.
I believe in the sun. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen.
Because he lives.
was covered in sin and shame. By her mercy, called my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one who never ends because He lives. I can face tomorrow.
King above all kings.
shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. All that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. And you would take my place.
Ourselves worn out from the sun.
same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker.
Great song service. I was, we first got started this morning. Miss Kim opened up with our devotion, and she had no idea what I was going to preach about. And this is basically what the message is going to be about today is, where's the nine? Where is the nine? If you know the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter number 17, there was 10 lepers healed. Only one come back to thank the Lord for what he done. And I began thinking a lot about that this week and studying a lot about it and how truly unthankful we are for what's been done for us. And I was beginning reading some stuff, and there was a guy had written it was a sermon or something for Lifeway based on this same story, and I began reading it. He had a little funny thing at the first of it. He said there was this dog one time that came into a butcher shop. And he said the dog came in, and the butcher said, "How are you?" The dog barked, and the dog walks over to the meat case, and he jokingly asked the dog, said, "Would you like steak or chicken?" The dog barked, so he assumed he wanted steak. He asked, "Said, you want 1 pound or two?" The dog barked, so he gave him 2 pounds. The dog had a purse around his neck with just the right amount of money for the right amount of meat that the man had gotten up for the dog. So the man said, "I'm going to find out more about this dog." So he follows the dog home. The dog goes in this apartment complex. He goes up to a door, and he barks once. Nothing happens. He barks twice, and a man begins yelling, "What do you want, you dumb dog? What do you want?" He just keeps on and on about the dog. And finally, on the third bark, the man comes open the door. The butcher says to the man, he says, "Why are you so mean to the dog? So this is the smartest animal I've ever encountered." He said, "Yeah, but you don't understand. This makes the third day in a row he's forgotten his key." We're just not really thankful for what we have. And that's a little light something to go with a very serious message this morning. Luke chapter 17, verse I began reading in verse number 11. I had told those guys back there 12, but you can't see the words, no way. You don't know when I mess up today, I get a break. So if you don't believe what I'm reading, open your Bible or turn around. It's going to be on the screen back there. We believe the lightning bolt had got us again. So y'all remember us in that. But Luke chapter 17, verse number 11 says, "It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there he met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory unto God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we ask you for just a few minutes. You open our hearts and open our minds to this word. God, we thank you for what you've done for us today. God, I pray that through your word, somebody here in this place will understand what's truly been done through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'll let those of us who realized it years ago understand again. Let us turn back one more time and give thanks unto him. Father, I ask you to speak this morning. God, I can preach a million words, but you can say one and change lives. God, all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to understand what was going on here. Leprosy in that day was very terrible. It was the worst possible diagnosis a man could get. A man, woman, boy, girl, whoever got the diagnosis, it was terrible. As you begin looking at it, these men were an outcast. They were by themselves. And as you hear me preach, I know I preach a lot, mention leprosy a lot. And leprosy is a sign of sin in the Bible. It's representative of what sin is in the Bible. And sin, I began thinking about these two this week and how closely related is sin and leprosy. They're just alike. Leprosy is a visual of sin, if you will, of what we can see that sin does to a heart and a life. And may I tell you today that we are all have leprosy. We all, every one of us in this place had leprosy. We had spiritual leprosy. As you begin looking at the disease, number one, I want you to see that this leprosy was never healed in the scriptures. You can begin studying it out from Old Testament, all through the Old Testament. Leprosy was never healed outside of miraculous touch of God. No, none ever was a priest able to do it. None able was a doctor ever to do it. Nowhere in Scripture ever was there any kind of doctor, any kind of person that was able to heal leprosy outside of a touch from God. You study the whole Old Testament and you find two people that was healed of leprosy. And in each case, God miraculously worked in that life. And I want to tell you something here this morning. There's never been a sinner in the world who's been cured outside the touch of God. There's no touch I can give you. There's no touch any man can give you. If you would be healed of the disease of sin, it's truly a miraculous touch of God. And you see, we have so come to think that it's guaranteed to us and that we deserve this, that we have taken the grace of God and have become so unthankful for it. How do I know we're unthankful for it? Because, bless God, we can't get anybody to praise him today. And listen, that's even, I'm talking to myself this morning. At some point down history, somebody's taught us that when we come to church, we're supposed to sit down and be quiet and not do anything because we may cause a little commotion. Or we're not supposed to do anything, let anybody know that we're praising God. I want to tell you something. When that leper turned back, brother, he was praising God. He realized that something had been done. And today, if me and you could just get a hold a little bit of what's been done for us through the blood of Jesus Christ, there would be some praising going on in this place. There'd be some excited people. We sit here this morning, we act like we've lost our best friend. I don't blame anybody. Come in, if they turn around and leave, I would too. Looks like we're mad at each other. But I was thinking about this last night. I remember all the way back to last year. I can remember that far, Kim. All the way back. Now, Auburn fans won't know much about what I'm talking about this morning. But all the way back to last year, there was a little ball game there in January. And it was Alabama and Georgia was playing in the national championship. And I got to admit, there at the end, I was about ready to do away with that kicker. I was done with him. I said, what in the world has Nick Saban done? He's got to be the worst coach I've ever seen. He's going to try to win this thing with a field goal kicker who don't have a real good record of kicking field goals. And sure enough, he missed this thing. And then Georgia gets the ball. And we all know the story of that, of how the fellow with the goggles kicks a long field goal. And then Alabama gets the ball. And the quarterback gets it. He runs back here. He gets tackled about 10 yards behind where he started. And I thought, they need to do away with that Tunga, whoever his name is. He don't even need to be a quarterback. And then the next play, he throws a touchdown pass. And I remember something. And boy, y'all would have loved to have been there. Because I jumped up. I run and jumped on the couch with Stephanie. And I acted a fool. I acted a fool. I was yelling, I was hollering, I was screaming. And listen, that didn't affect me one bit, but being able to tell Rodney about how great Alabama is. It didn't affect my spiritual life one bit. It didn't affect my eternity one bit. But boy, was I excited about it. And listen, I'll sit here and I'll preach to you, and I'll sit in service and hear another man preach, or I'll hear the Word of God read and understand what's been done for me, but yet I don't want to praise Him. Listen, something's wrong with this picture this morning. The only thing it is we do not realize, we truly never grasp what's been done for us. And as you begin looking at the disease of leprosy, I want to tell you how it worked. It began attacking your skin. It was transmitted by nasal fluids and different nasty stuff. It would get on other people, and the virus would be transferred, or the disease would. And immediately it would begin attacking the nervous system. The people who studied this stuff said that it was so bad that somebody could have their foot chewed off by a rat or by a dog and they wouldn't even feel it. The nerves was gone. It said that many people that died was died because they would get in a fire not knowing they was being burned. And all these things, how terrible this disease was. It said the smell was just unbearable. And the sight of them. I began reading some stuff about Beth Moore went to Israel or somewhere out there where the disease still is. And she had always wanted to visit a leper colony. Ever since studying the Word of God, she had a desire to go preach and teach to a leper colony. So she had the opportunity to minister to them. And she went by the leper colony. Guess what? She couldn't walk in. And she said she walked by 3 or 4 times during the whole trip and never there until she walked in that leper colony. She said the smell was so terrible she couldn't enter into it. And then everybody that knows about this says in Bible days it was about 10 times worse than it is now. So she was over there the whole time and never could enter in that leper colony because the stench was too bad. The smell was too bad. May I tell you today, that's exactly how sin is in the nostrils of God. It is so bad that he cannot stand to be around it. I read another story about a missionary in 1996 was preaching over in a country, and there was this leper. He knew it was leprosy. He knew the lepers was there, but they had them all in a building. And he said he was there, and he was preaching. And said at the end of service, said this one old lady, she wouldn't stay turned towards him because her face was in such a shape that she didn't want nobody to see her. But she'd been in service the whole time, turned around backwards. And he mentioned at the end of service, he said, does anybody have anything they would like to say? He said he saw this hand come up that didn't have any fingers on it. And he said, all of a sudden, this lady turned around. He said, the most awful-looking face I'd ever seen. Said her nose was gone, part of her face was gone, and she barely could utter some words, but she said, may we sing, count your many blessings. And he said, immediately he had to leave that place, and said, one of the other missionaries went and got him and said, Brother Jack, are you okay? He said, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again. He said, oh, yes, I will, but I'll never sing it in the same way. She realized what she was thankful for. Listen, she didn't have a face, she didn't have a nose, she didn't have any fingers, but bless God, she knew the one that had healed her. So leprosy is a bad disease. And listen, what makes it worse than that, not only did it attack the nervous system, not only did it rot the skin, but it took some people 30 years to die of this disease. 30 years. Can you imagine being in this shape for 30 years? Now listen, we see people with cancer, and some of them last years. I got a good friend who's had terminal lung cancer for about 13 years now, and this stuff can go on for some years. Honestly, God decides when it's time. But he is trying to show us through this disease of leprosy how exactly sin works. There are some people in here who has this sin sickness, and they've had it for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, but I want to show you something, that sin will always kill you. There's no cure for it outside of Jesus Christ. And if you don't get some help for it, it will eventually take your life. Now think about this. I told you how it will numb, how this leprosy numbed your nerves. Have you ever realized how sin does the same thing? If you're caught up in a sin the first time, it's easy. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to do the first time. And then the second time, it becomes easier. And then the third time becomes a little bit easier. And then the fourth time becomes easier. And before long, you become completely numb to this sin. You have no thoughts about it. You have no worries about it. You're able to do it. Never even think twice about it. And this thing called sin. How easily it numbs you and brings you to a point of where you don't even realize it's bad anymore. And you can just pick up anything and it's burning you the whole time. And you don't even know it. How dangerous is this disease called leprosy? And not only did it take 30 years to kill you, not only did it kill your nervous system, not only did it rot your skin, but you was a complete outcast. Outcast for all the whole time you've had it. You was completely separated from the rest of society. If you was a daddy, you couldn't see your children. If you was a husband, you couldn't see your wife. If you was a granddaddy, you couldn't see grandchildren. You was completely cut off from everybody else except who was the lepers. The only people you could be around was who already had this disease. Brother, does that not sound exactly like sin? Listen, if you're caught up in sin, you don't want to be around nobody that's godly. You don't want to be around nobody who knows Jesus. You don't want to hear about Jesus. You don't want to hear nothing of him. You want to be by yourself with the rest of them. Hey, I remember being in that place. Boy, before I was saved back in 1997, I had a bunch of friends. I tell you, they'd come over to her house. We'd watch Super Bowl. We'd do all the fun things. We'd get in our trucks and go ride in the mud or get on our four-wheelers and do all this. And by the time that I got saved, it was like I had leprosy. And boy, when I announced my call to preach, I was sure enough toxic. I'm sure enough toxic. Don't nobody want to be around a preacher. They just don't. Especially if they're not living the way God calls them to live, and they think that we're above them, but we're not. We have the same temptation. We have the same struggles. But nobody wants to be around that. And so those that was diseased, they spent all their life by themselves, except with other ones that was diseased. Now, can you imagine? Spending your whole life away from your family. Spending your whole life around these who stunk, and you couldn't stand to look at them for the looks in their face. And there was nothing good about that day. Everything about it was terrible. Can you imagine living like that? There may be some in this building right now who's living exactly like that because they have a disease called sin. And there's only one cure for this thing. And it's still the same cure that was all the way back when Naaman had it. It was listening to the words of God. Now listen, what did Naaman want to do? He said, I'm not going dipping in that nasty Jordan. There's no reason for that. I can be healed on myself. But I'll tell you something today. If Naaman had not dipped in that Jordan River, he would have never been healed of leprosy. You know why? Because it's the way God decided he was to be healed. And unless you come to Jesus Christ today, you will never be healed of sin. Why? Because it's the way God set this thing up, and God made it through faith, and unless you come to him, there is no hope for you. Naaman had to come this way. So there, that's a brief lesson on leprosy. So you see the disease. But I want you to see this decision. See this decision as Jesus came up to them. Now immediately they was taken back because of this man who they had heard so much about. They had heard how great he is, how everything he taught was so great. And they've heard about the healings he had done and all this stuff. And here he comes, and they see him afar off. And the Bible says they begin yelling at him. And you know why they yell? Because they was instructed to yell, we have leprosy. Get away. Stay away from us. We have leprosy. So everybody that came, not just Jesus, they yelled at him. Let them know what they had. That they was contagious. Do not come around me. But when they hollered out, guess what Jesus done? He comes straight towards them. He comes straight to them. He didn't shy away from them. There isn't one place in Scripture where Jesus touched a leper. And boy, that changed his life. But listen, they yelled at him. Their voices lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself unto the priests. I've read this 1,000 times probably and never thought about this. He told them, he said, go show yourself unto the priest. And the Bible says that they went. He said, go show them to the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So these 10 men, Jesus says, go show yourself unto the priest. Now you go all the way back to Leviticus and it begins telling that how the priest is to be the one who decides if you're truly healed from leprosy. So Jesus was fulfilling the law in that point of telling that you had to go see the priest and then the priest will say if you're clean or not. So Jesus says, go show yourself unto the priest. But you ever realize this? That those guys took off walking directly towards the priest and they still were not cleansed. They were lepers and they left walking. You know what that shows me today? That shows me the faith of those men. They knew that Jesus spoke and something was about to happen. At that point, the legs were still bad or their arms were still bad or whatever the leprosy had touched was still mangled. But they believed that what was going to happen was going to happen. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And brother, they went. They went. And can you imagine the walk? As they was walking, the one whose leg was been eaten off by the rat or whatever, immediately that thing come back on. And the one whose arm was gone, immediately that arm come back on. That one whose face may have been eaten off, most of his face, all of his face come back. He was completely healed. And one thing leprosy would do, it would turn the hair to completely white. And I believe they looked at one another and said, hey, your hair ain't white anymore. Something is happening to you. And as they went, all these things began happening. So things was changing in the lives of these men. But only one turned around. Only one turned around. You see, the decision was all of them was going to the priest. All of them was going to show themselves to the priest. And I bet as soon as they started walking, it was probably going through their minds, well, I don't know why we're going to the priest. I've still got leprosy. I don't know why we're going to do this thing. But all I know is Jesus said, do it. And brother, we're going to do it. We're going to see what happens. So as they went, they was cleansed. And it says one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. One of them, 9 men, kept walking to the priest. Nine men. You see, I began thinking about this all week. I think those nine said, you know what? I've been healed. I'm going to rush to the priest. I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to say, look at me, priest. I'm clean as a whistle. I'm going back to my wife. I'm going back to my children. I'm going back to my job. I'm going back to my church. I'm going back. I can't wait to get back. Man, I'm just ready to go. I've been healed. I've been made clean. I'm going back to them. But listen, they said there was one that couldn't do it. There was one. I began thinking about the percentages. As you begin studying out stuff in churches, they say about 80 or 90% of the church most of the time gives nothing in tithes. About 80 or 90% of a small body of church or a large body of a church contributes absolutely nothing to the place. About 80 or 90% of the people in a church contributes nothing to the service. I'm talking about the workings of the church. Very few percentages give back to the Lord of their talents. Very few percentages give to the Lord of their money, give to the Lord of their time. It's very, very low percentages. Hey, that tells me, brother, that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. There was only one out of 10 came back, and it's about the same numbers we have today. How many of y'all saw throughout youth camps and revivals and different things? I throw us all in there, old, young, and all of us. But how many people have you saw get excited about the Lord? They make a confession of faith. They come for about 2 weeks. They're excited, and after about 2 weeks' time, you can't find them any longer. How many do you find? Well, I want to tell you something. There was one right here. I promise you, he would be there every time the door was open. You know why? Because he saw what was done for him. That's the difference today in what was about the 10 and what was wrong with the one is this one saw exactly what had been done for him. What had been done for him. Listen, there was 10 of them that had the exact same thing done that this one had done. So why in the Lord did only one turn around? The difference was he saw, not just physically, but he saw spiritually what had been done for him. Now, I've studied this all week, and you begin looking at this. The Greek and the Hebrew words there where it says made cleansed or made well hold some very, very spiritual meaning. They're different than the words we read there. And when you begin reading them, the first time, these men actually was just made medically whole. They was made medically clean. They was not made spiritually clean. But as this one saw that he had been made medically clean, he turned around, he come back to the Savior, and he was made whole, which in the Greek and Hebrew is the same word. It is a little bit of a medical term, but it's the word they use to mean a baby is delivered safely. That when the mother has a baby, this baby is delivered, and it's well, and it's whole, and it's a perfect a little bundle of joy. It's a perfect baby. And this is exactly the same word that Jesus tells him. He says, go your way. You have been made whole. Not only was his leprosy gone, but bless God, this man found something more important than his body. He found something more important than being rid of leprosy. He found a Savior that day because he realized what had been done for him. Now I wonder, and boy, y'all quiet today. But I wonder if those sitting up in us, if I was to ask you, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to embarrass you or bring attention to you, but if I was to ask you, how many of them here have been made clean? How many of here have been made whole? How many in this place, without a shadow of doubt, do you know in your heart that the Lord has saved you, that he has cleansed you of this spiritual leprosy, that he's wiped it away, that he's made you completely white as snow? He's cleaned all that dark stuff away that was in your life. He's done away with it. And I tell you, I believe there's a bunch in this place. I'm not going to say everybody is, but I believe there's a lot in this place today that is truly at some point in their life, they've come to Christ, they've been called of God, they realized they was a sinner, and they cried out to Jesus Christ for saving. I believe there's people in this place today that has done that. But listen, this is what I'm asking today. Where are the nine? Where are you at? Where are you at? Listen, do you really understand? Do you really, if you really ever grasp what's been done for you? Have you really ever grasped? Now listen, I pray to God for him to show me exactly what's been done for me. Because I realized something, that if I truly could grasp how I had been healed, as this one leper could grasp how he had been healed, something would be different in my life. You understand something? He told them men, he said, go to the priest while they were still dirty. He said, while you're still a leper, you head out onto the priest, I'm going to make you whole. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, listen to what it tells us. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Listen, when you were still a leper, you were still filthy. You were still dirty. There was nothing good in you. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went to a cross and died for you. for as sorry as you are, and listen, you can try to act as pretty in me as front of me as you want to. I'm a person just like you. I know how dirty you are. I know how nasty you are. I know how the leprosy is. I had it too. We know exactly about it. We know how bad it is. We was talking about in Sunday school how we all are humans and we have many failures and shortcomings. And all these things, we know exactly how this thing is. And listen, I fit right in there with you, and I know something. But I wish today that we could grasp what this one leper grasped, and that's that we have been made clean, and we have been made whole. And if we could just get a little bit of peace of that, and just understand what Jesus has done for us, we'd be racing around that graveyard. They'd be making fun of us over there at the Pentecostal church. Have you seen them Baptists running? You know the problem today? Why we sit here? And we can't raise our hands. And we, listen, I'm not saying everybody worships the same way. I'm not. Everybody don't worship the same way. Everybody don't cry out. Everybody don't shout. But bless God, there are some emotions when you realize what God has done for you. This man realized he'd been made clean. He didn't go back. And the Bible don't say he walked back with his hands beside him. And he walked up there with his eyes, his head bowed down. It looked like he lost his best friend and said, thank you, Lord, for what happened. The Bible says he went back. And with a loud voice, he turned back. And he said, hey, I realize something. I have been made clean. It says he, one of them, when he saw his heel, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. You know what's wrong with churches today? And boy, I'm fixing to make some of you so mad that you're going to hate me. You know what's become wrong with so many churches? And listen, I fall into this as we become so caught up with being organized that we have lost when the Spirit begins working that we won't turn the law loose any longer. And we become so caught up with having everything in order that if God wants to change something, bless God, we hold back. And we wonder why we truly can't experience God, why we truly can't have the revivals they have the old time. And the reason is that we will not let Him work. We've got Him planned out before we get here. We know exactly what's going to happen. Hey, we've even got it on a piece of paper that we're going to do this at this time, and that at that time, and this time. And Lord, help if anything changes. We don't know what to do. We lose a hold on this thing. I remember whenever I started preaching, I was down a pastor and I was down in Lineville, and we had a testimony service there at the end of the revival. And boy, I had completely lost control of that service. I thought to myself, boy, some pastor you are, and we're going to be here all night long, and we're going to never get out of this place because people just kept popping up. Testifying, an old pastor that was up there, a preacher I had that come preach for me. I began talking to him beside me, and I said, brother, I'd have lost control. I don't know what to do. He said, when this happens, you just enjoy it. You just enjoy it. He said, that's when I like it, when it's out of control. I was in a service one time in Tallapoosa. Started completely over after it was over. Craziest thing I'd ever seen. Didn't make any sense. But God got a hold of that thing. Listen, what I'm telling you today is we've become so civilized that we ain't allowing God to work. I'm not saying you got to run around and do all these things. What I am saying is when you realize what God has done for you, there will be some outward praise. This one is no different than me and you are. This one just simply saw that he had been cleansed. He saw from the physical. He looked down and he saw that this arm had come back, Terry. Hey, the arm that was gone is returned. Hey, that leg that was down here, and I had that old filthy rag tied around it where it was oozing, and all that nasty stuff was coming out. No longer is it there, I can now run. And no longer may I have a water he could see his face in and say, hey, my face is back. And all these things is, I don't know what he had wrong, but one thing I know for certain, he was able to see that he had been made whole. You're here today and the Lord saved you. Do you realize you've been made whole? You was an outcast from the family of God, the Bible tells us. You was away from God. You was absolutely worth nothing. You was no good. You didn't have anything. And most of all, you didn't have any hope. And I began looking at something else I've seen posted a couple times this week. It tells in Ecclesiastes, I think it is, that God has put eternity in our hearts. You know why you want to live? You know why you have a desire to live and you go to the doctors and you exercise and you try to eat right and all these things? Is because it's put in you to want to live. It's put in you to want to live. You know why those with leprosy never gave up? You want to know why? They didn't just kill themselves, because it was put in them by God to want to live. Listen, it's put into us physically. So what in the world is wrong spiritually? If we listen, I have known people that has been to the doctor for their cancer update or for their cancer screenings or whatever it may be, and the doctor says you're made clean. No longer do you have cancer. You know what they do? I've talked to some of them. They'll go home, they'll get out the telephone, they'll pull it out, and they'll look at every name on that thing, and they'll call, and they said, hey, the doctor says I'm cancer-free. And they'll call the next one, hey, the doctor says I'm cancer-free. They'll go to church, they'll say, let me tell you something. The doctor says I'm cancer-free. And I don't blame them, I would too. But listen, when we spiritually look at ourselves, can we honestly say, I've been made clean? I've been made clean. If we can, undoubtedly, according to Scripture, you're going to have to tell somebody. You can't keep it in there. Hey, Jeremiah the prophet, he wanted to quit. And God told him, said, okay, just go ahead and quit. In the next verse of that, Jeremiah says, I can't. There's a fire in my bones. I can't quit. I can't hush. You see, we see the disease and the decision, but the difference in them was this man saw what had been done for him. He had saw that a difference had been made in his life. Can you look back? Listen, I want you to read. I'm going to have to read it to you because you can't see up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 11. Let me tell you what this says about you. Know you not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we stop right there, the first thing you're going to say is, wait a minute now. I'm not any of those things. I've never murdered. I've never done this. I've never done that. But I'm going to show you in Scripture where you'd have. You go to the Ten Commandments. It tells us that if you look over a woman to lust, you committed adultery. If you hate your brother, you committed murder. And listen what this says. And verse 11 says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. But boy, I want to tell you something. What if it stopped right there? What if it stopped right there and says, such were some of you. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you was infamous. What you begin studying those words out, you know what it means? It's homosexuality. It's in the New Testament, folks. Some of you. Listen to what it says right here. Ain't you thankful? And the kids are going to laugh, but ain't you thankful for these buts? Yeah. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I just told you what some of you were. And what's important to realize what you were, well, you'll know where you're at now, is that you was these things. And why it was bad to be these things is because you cannot inherit the kingdom of God if this is in you. You can't do it. So how do you escape this? You must be washed by the Spirit of God. You must be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You must be cleansed. And when you are these things, when you are made clean, when you do realize this, in the Bible it tells you to do something. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be afraid to tell people that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to tell people that there's been a change in you. Don't be afraid to tell people what the change is. How many of y'all saw the interview with Dabo Swinney this week? Boy, it was the greatest thing I've ever seen from a college football coach. They asked him there at the ACC Media Days, whatever they call theirs. They said unto him, one of them asked him, says, what about your, or how important is your faith to you? And he's taken aback. He says, man, the easiest question I've ever been asked in my life. I wasn't expecting this one. And he begins preaching to them. He begins telling them about who he was. He begins telling them about how he got a relationship with Jesus Christ at the age of 16, how things turned around. He even tells them about how it wasn't easy. He said, you see this football coach right here with all this money and with all this fame and won a national championship and a real successful football team? He said, well, it wasn't always that way. I've been through hard times. He preached to them in front of a national audience. He was redeemed to the Lord, and he was saying so. Has there ever been a time in your life that you told somebody about what's done for you? According to these scriptures, listen, this is not me trying to entice you to praise the Lord. This is the Word of God saying, if you've been redeemed to the Lord, you know what redeemed means, by the way? It means that the Lord has already paid for you and that he has redeemed you. In other words, when you get a coupon, that thing is not any good until you go give it to the teller at the store. You redeem it. You get your product for what you've got. And one day, you're going with him. He's done paid for you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The Bible tells us that we're either for him or we're against him. There's no gray area. We preached this last week. There's no straddling the fence with God. It's all of God's best or all of his worst. It's all of heaven or all of hell. There's no middle ground. There's no aisle with God. It's this side and that side. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I began thinking about this. How many of us the next day, that's Alabama fans, went to work walking like Landon with our chest out? I love you, Landon. How many of us went telling everybody, did you see what he done on that last play? Did you see? And oh, the joy I had. Did you see what had happened? Or either when one of your home teams, like Heflin or Ramburn or whoever your home team is, does something good in sports, boy, have no problem telling. Or listen to this, if when one of your children make all A's or do something great, you'll go tell them. They go tell them how many people Miss Pat told about her grandson being in the Army. That's important. That's a great thing. They go tell how many people she told about the other one being successful in wrestling. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It should be told. There's no telling how many people you've told about how great your children are and all those things, but how many people have you told about how great your God is? We'll sit right here and we'll be quiet because they have taught us we're supposed to be quiet and not say anything, because if we do, then we're going to make people feel bad. And Lord, we don't want that. I want to tell you something, church. When you see what's been done for you, you'll have to tell somebody. And the number one, you'll have to praise God. I don't know how your praise will be. If you want to run around the building, that's fine with me. If you want to raise your hands, that's fine with me. If you want to shout, hey, that's great with me. I do not care. One thing I do care about is that we become a people who realize what's been done for them. Hey, you know what? You can't sell anything. Anybody in here knows anything about selling, knows anything about marketing. You cannot sell a product until you believe in it. You cannot do it. I don't care what kind of salesman you are. If you know that thing is not good, if you know it's not right, you may put on a front for a little while, but soon you'll find you another job because you realize you can't push that product. I want to tell you something today. You've got the best product there's ever been put out, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's never going to have a falter. It's never going to fail. It's never going to cease to do what it's called to do. It's still powerful. Even in 2018, people need to be hearing about the Lord. How are they going to hear about him if we sit still? The Bible says if you're quiet, the rocks will give praise. The rocks will shout forth his glory. The rocks will shout forth. What about you tonight or today? Do you realize, are you like that one leper? Have you looked spiritually at your life and see that you've been made whole? Have you looked? If you have, I'm going to encourage you to do something. Turn back. Like Miss Kim read this morning, return. Come back and give him thanks for what's been done for you. You see, if I give you $1 million today, every time I saw you in town, you'd come thank me. You would. You'd tell everybody too, hey, he gave me $1 million. And I'd come and you'd say, hey, boy, I'm glad you gave me that. It changed my life. Some of you down the years might want to wish I hadn't, but all this, you would, in a minute, you would think I'd done something great for you. And, oh, yeah, you would praise me and you would thank me, and it would be so wonderful. There's been something done for you that's way more worth money. It's even more important than anything can be done for you. Even if you have cancer, it's more important being healed from cancer. It's more important than having all the money in the world. All the money you can think about, it's more important than that. I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about eternal forgiveness with a holy God. This one realized something, and I'm closing. This one realized that he had been touched. He realized what had been done for him. This one who was dirty, rotten sinner, with leprosy that smelled so bad, realized that the very maker of heaven and earth had touched him, had spoke to him. You know what? We need to think about this thing personally. The God that created all of universe decided one day to call your name. And it's up to you whether you accepted him or you rejected him. But he gave you an opportunity. Now listen, this is one that made all these things. I was looking at news the other day. Scientists have said they found this planet that is, or this thing outside the universe that is 400 and something million light years away. I don't know how you even see something that far, but they say they've seen this thing. And I begin thinking, well, my, how big God is. to create that thing, the one that created all that and all the stars and all the everything to earth and created everything you see and everything you touch and made everything, he decided to touch you. He offered you salvation. He offers you to be made clean. If you have been made, I want to encourage you to say so. I want to encourage you to praise him. To praise him. As we stand, as we come with a verse of song. We may have some here. May have, I don't know how many, that has never been made clean. Maybe the reason you can't praise is you got nothing to praise about. You got nothing to be happy about. You're still dirty. You're still a leper. You're still in a colony that's far off from everybody else. Boy, I want to tell you what, how miserable would it be to be in a to be there and knowing you can never get out of that place, of that leper colony. Knowing the history of leprosy, there was never a hope for it. And then to see a man come that they say can heal this thing and to cry out to him and he talks back and he calls back. I want to tell you today, you may be a leper. You may be spiritually unclean, but I promise you today, if you call out to him, he will answer back and he will save you and he will cleanse you and he will make you right. If you have been saved, I encourage you to turn back. Turn back and get excited about what's been done for you. No longer do you have this leprosy. No longer do you have to worry about waking up in hell one day. No longer do you have to worry about the enemy. You have been made free. Will you say so today as she plays this song? Amen. We wouldn't be shy about what's been done in a ball game. We wouldn't be shy about what's been done in our families. Why are we shy about what the Lord's done for us? Why are we shy? Listen, we all know one another. The people that's out there think we're crazy for being here anyway. Church, it's time that we praise him for what's been done. You come. It's a very light thing to do for one that has given his life for you.